cold water on it, he'll blow on it and bless it. He can even see the smallest grain of faith, and that faith justifies just like great faith. And I believe that. I believe our Lord is like that. But also, he praised the Lord when he saw great faith. He praised God for great faith. And we should, what? Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Don't be afraid to seek great things from God. I have a vision for this church for revival. Hey, the name of this church is Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And so I have a vision for that. And thank God, it's not just experienced in the book of Acts, which was the experience of revival, but it is taught and explained in the epistles of Paul, Ephesians 1, and other places. He talks about the Word of God didn't come to you in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Romans 8:16. You have the witness of the Spirit poured forth, and so forth and so on. So tonight we want to look back, if you would, with me at Ephesians 3. We're in our seventh message on revival. And we have explained that in the book of Acts there was persecution leading to prayer, leading to the pouring out of the power of the Spirit in revival. Blessings. And then there were the proclamation of the gospel with power and people getting saved. And then what happened after that? Well, you know, persecution, because Satan doesn't like it when the power of God is operating in a church. I don't believe he likes it when we see many people getting saved and baptized. We had around 100 or over 100, I don't have the exact number, last year that got baptized here. This church was 120, or thereabout, the year before. I mean, it's been a time of blessing, but yet it's small compared to what we could see. So we want to encourage you to expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And we're praying for that on Chocolate Sunday this Sunday, and on our coming Sunday, Chili Bowl Sunday. We want to see people come to the Lord and be believers. And so we've been looking at these steps of revival, and we're now on our seventh sermon on steps of revival. But we did say, between the praying for revival and the pouring out of the great grace and power of revival, there's something that comes between that. And this will be the fourth message on the P that comes between prayer for revival and the pouring out of the Spirit of God for revival. And what is that P?
Preparation.
Preparation. And you know, I've talked about the lady where her husband just kept saying, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost," every Wednesday night. "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost." The pastor had asked him to lead in prayer. "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost." And then his wife just said, kind of under her breath, maybe she didn't expect so many people to hear it, but I guess somebody heard it, and now preachers have been talking about it ever since. She said, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." I don't want to be a leaker. But you know what? We do leak. And so we talked about plugging up the leaks in our life where we drain off the power of God. And also we talked about getting rid of the clogs in the pipe of revival, serious unconfessed sin that we will not deal with that clogs the pipe. And so God wants all that taken care of. This is the preparation for revival that we have been studying, and this will be our fourth message on the preparation for revival. And we've also been talking about revival is, and this whole series is called Steps and Stages of Revival. Steps and Stages for Revival. And so we've talked about, like, it's like climbing a mountain. And how many of you have ever climbed a mountain of any size? Okay. The rest of you? Maybe you should try it. Get in a mountain and climb it. I remember my daughter Mindy climbed a mountain with Greg Slobodnik and my son Brian, and Mindy fell, and she was falling down the mountain. And she tumbled and then hit on her back right on a cliff, and she almost slid over that cliff. If she would have, it would have been the end for Mindy. But she stopped. So it could be dangerous. But climbing a mountain, and you start out in the fog, and you start walking out of the fog as you get higher, because fog lays low. And it's great to get up out of the fog, isn't it? Have you ever been in a fog? How many of you have been in a fog? And you get out of that funk of that fog, you know, as you climb the mountain of revival. And that's what this whole prayer is. And, you know, it starts with prayer for revival. After persecution, you pray and you start to climb out of that fog. And then the Spirit strengthens you inside of your inner man, so that is another prayer to the source of revival. You pray to the Father through the Son, and then the Holy Spirit starts helping you prepare for revival. And you get a little higher, right? You get a little higher on that mountain. And then you come up to the next stage and the next stage of preparation that we talked about. And it's like climbing a mountain. And every time you get higher, you can see farther and your vision increases. And when you get to the top, you can see in great distances and have great vision. And that's what God wants. Too many of God's people are like, they're not like eagles soaring. They're like chickens walking around with their heads down looking for seeds, yeah, chickens. And they're scratching around in the ground. They're walking around scratching like chickens. I know my daughter-in-law and son, they have chickens over at their house, and they scratch around. Now my other daughter got chickens, right? Doesn't Amy have chickens? They scratch around. They need to get some eagles and fly. But, you know, they that wait upon the Lord, it says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So revival is that mounting up with eagle's wings, and you get way on that mountaintop. And so we've been talking about preparation for revival. But sometimes, and this could happen in your life, you go up to one level of the mountain, and you go up to another level, and then you climb to another level, and then you go back down. Or you do like Mindy, you fall and you slide back down. You can never go back to where you were, being unsaved, but you fall down on that mountain at some level. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray for and to prepare for revival. And we talked about by praying to the source of revival, the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, and we've preached on that. And we want to talk tonight about the preparation for revival by the Savior of it. And so let's look at the Savior, and I'm going to ask you to follow me in Ephesians 3:17 and the first phrase of that verse. Ephesians 3:17, we started with verse 13, and now we're going to 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, I want you to notice there in 3:17 some things. The first thing I want you to notice about Christ dwelling in your heart by faith, notice first the plural preparation for revival. You notice where it says there that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts, plural, by faith. You see, revival is not usually just one person. It may start with one or two people, but revival is meant to spread. When Charlie Ware said, "Bloom, I got revival," that wasn't just so Charlie would get it, so I would get it, so others would get it, so you would get it. And that's what Paul is praying for. I just don't want certain great, wonderful saints. You know, the Roman Catholics canonize certain people and call them saints. No, we're all saints. Every one of us. What's the word saint means? Holy one. You're a saint of God. You're separated unto a relationship with God. And God wants you to have revival. God wants you to have revival. And he, therefore, as part of revival, is that you would have Christ dwelling in your heart. That you would have Christ dwelling in your heart. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit if we're saved. But that doesn't mean that Christ is really dwelling in your heart. You say, what are you talking about? Dwell means to settle down. Make yourself at home. Have you ever been in somebody's house and you didn't feel at home there? And they just didn't have a way to make you feel at home. There's some people have a great way to make you feel at home. It's called hospitality. How hospitable are you to Jesus to settle down and make a mansion? Because that's what the word abide means in John 15. It means to have your heart be a mansion for Jesus. I've seen mansions, but I want a mansion that is comfortable and that makes me comfortable. And Jesus is looking for that in your heart. And so I'm just saying that revival is for the whole church. Look at verse 21 of Ephesians 3. I'll read it. It says, unto him be glory in one individual outstanding Christian. No, unto him be glory, verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3, in what? In the what? In the what?
In the church.
Oh, in the church. In the church. What's the church? It's a called out assembly of God's people. God wants revival, not just in some people, but in all of the church. And that should encourage your heart that it's not just for some special people. The Spirit is poured out on old men, young men, daughters and women and young. It says it. It's we're living in the age of that blessing, and grasp it by faith. And you know, the glory of God was sought for even by Moses. When the glory of God lifted out of the camp and left Israel, what did Moses do? He built a tent way outside the camp, way outside the congregation, and he sought the Lord out there. And what happened? Eventually the Lord's glory came down just upon Moses' camp that he set up outside there. And then who got the benefit of it? Joshua. Joshua stayed and courted that presence of the Lord. But then all the people got the benefit of it because the glory of the Lord returned after they'd sinned and dwelled in the middle of Israel. And the people were like, yeah, the glory of God is in the middle of the camp. Boy, when that happened, the whole world knew about it because they said, man, the glory of God is in the ark and the people of God. And they just were afraid of it. The world was afraid of the glory of God. Remember Rahab, she'd heard about it. It was so powerful. People of Jericho heard about it. You know what? It's been too long since the world has heard about the church. Been too long. Not just an individual anomaly Christian here and there. The saints, the church, plural. You by faith, you would have Christ at home in your heart. And this is part of the preparation for revival that we need to have. And sadly tonight, the church is without revival and has had little impact on the world today. I'm talking about the institutional church. Many churches are without revival and have little impact on the world today. I thank God for the impact we've had, but oh, would to God we'd have much more. That's first. Secondly, when we look at making room for Christ to dwell in your heart as a preparation for revival, the savior of the preparation for revival, notice secondly, not only the plural of it, but the person of Christ Jesus in your heart. Let me say something tonight. Christian life is boring if it's just a bunch of doctrines. I teach doctrine, but it's boring. I mean, I wouldn't want to be married to a wax woman. I want a woman with flesh and blood. I want a woman that is nice. And I'm just saying that I don't want a savior that's just a wax savior, just doctrines. Nor do I want a savior that's just a bunch of rules and regulations. You know, here are the rules, here are the regulations. No, that's not what I got here. That's not what got me where I am now. No, the rules that I have came out of a relationship with a person that I love and that loves me. And I know him and he knows me with an intimacy. You know, it's a sad thing when a married couple are psychologically divorced and they just go through the motions of marriage and they do their duty of marriage even, but they are one affair away from an adulterous relationship because there's no excitement in it. There's no love in it. And the honey has gone out of the honeymoon. And sadly, that's the way it is in the church today and in many Christians today. And it could be in your life. And thank God that you're faithful. Thank God that you're loyal. Thank God that you keep coming. But God wants more than that. He wants more than that in your marriage. He wants more than that in your relationship to the Lord Jesus. And so you need to make room for Christ to be at home in your heart so that he makes himself real in your life. Do you know he wants to do that for you? And it's exciting. It's worth it. And he said this in Revelation 3, verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." When's the last time you heard his voice? Not just you read his word, not just you knew certain doctrines about his word, but where he himself showed up and you knew it was him. And you knew that he was dropping handfuls of purpose in your life in a sermon or in your reading time or your prayer time or your meditation time or something he did in your life. You saw the Lord. And you have a testimony, like Diane said tonight, like Bobby said, about a testimony. God did this for me. Too often it's too little. And it's just going through some rules and some doctrines. When he says, "I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me," he's talking about an Oriental dinner. You know, back in the day when the Orientals had meals, and I'm thinking in the Middle East especially, they would have dinner and they would, the sons of Shem, they would have these wonderful hospitality meals with different courses, and you would, I went over there to Abraham's tent in Israel, and you were supposed to kind of like lay down. I couldn't do it. I'm an American. I said, "Get me a chair. Get me a chair," and I'm sitting up on the chair. I said, "I just can't do this." I couldn't do it, but they lay down, and they talk, and just have a wonderful meal, and you get to know the person. My, oh my, that is so needed today. I'm a big believer in a husband and wife getting away from the kids, getting away from the job, getting away from just spending some time together. I literally thought a mouse was running out there, almost freaked out. Get that mouse back. I thought it was a mouse. I was like freaking out. I had to be calm for my wife. But I'm just saying, when is the... You know, I always had a date day. My wife and I, we go out on a date day. It's special. I used to take my daughters out on a date day. Remember, I'd take you to Chinese. I would call it Chinese because that's how she said it. But I'd take my daughters out and teach them how to date. But I'm just saying that that is a blessed thing in marriage, a marriage with no love, no communication. That's what the Lord is saying here. He said, if you'll hear my voice, open the door of your heart. And don't make it like in the days of Jesus when he was born. There was no room for them in the inn. No room for Jesus. And don't have it like that. I remember our first pastor, Charles Ware. We named this church the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. We named this church Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Take care of your Sunday school class, Matt. And we named this church Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And it was because Charlie Ware, when he read his Bible in Bible college, it was more than just academics. It was more than just passing tests on Bible. It was a personal relationship with the Lord, and he was excited about what he was learning and reading, and he would talk to me about it. This church was born in revival, and it started in Charlie Ware's heart, and I saw it there. And when my wife met me, she saw it in my heart. I'm just saying, we need some people that are burning with love for the Lord, and people will come to watch you burn. But we have too little of it. The fire's burning low. It's burning low in too many churches, too many preachers, too many pulpits. I remember Charlie Ware. They wanted him to, he was a great basketball player for Baptist Bible, and they wanted him to, go full-time with basketball and do stuff and represent the school for basketball. He said, no, God called me to be the pastor of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I'm not going to do it. In fact, he said, I'm quitting the basketball team. That freaked him out. He said, I'm quitting the team. I can't do both. And I saw him in the Word of God, in prayer, and he'd come in the pulpit and God would meet with us. And God was real to us, and we'd have prayer meeting up at Clay Avenue, and I remember praying with guys like Winston Smith from Kingston, Jamaica, and Montego Bay, Jamaica. I was a fellow student, a very short black man, and Charlie was a big, tall black guy. I was in the middle. But anyway, Winston Smith, he would say, when we were praying, he'd say, Lord, we feel you're so real. We can reach out and touch you. That's what he wants. He wants to manifest himself to you. And notice the person of the Lord Jesus in your heart. Notice the plurality of it. It's for all the saints. Notice, thirdly, it's the communion with Christ that comes by exercising your faith. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Isn't that interesting? He wants to abide, dwell. The word, John 15, for abide is mansion. He wants your heart to be his mansion. You know, he's prepared a mansion for us in heaven, but right on earth, he wants your heart to be his mansion and dwell and settle down and be at home in your heart. And so how do you do that? You have to draw constantly upon God's promise of your union with Christ. If you have put faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the foundation, you have to realize, if I've trusted Christ, I'm justified. Amen? I'm justified. God said it. I believe it. That should settle it. Did it settle it? Let it settle it. Settle down and trust the foundation, Jesus Christ the Lord. He'll never fail you. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. When you've trusted Christ by faith, you're saved. Now, you're also united permanently to Jesus Christ. When we just did that marriage, it was death do us till death do us part. Amen. He doesn't ever divorce us. You're united spiritually to Jesus Christ. Well, that means when he died, you died to the realm of death that you used to live in, the realm of sin that you lived in, the realm of Satan that you lived in. You died out of that realm when Christ died, because you're united to Christ. You see that? Amen. You got to see that. How do you see it? By faith. Faith appropriates the truth of God. You did it once to get saved, but you need to keep doing it for Christ to dwell in your heart. You need to understand and believe and trust in the fact, I'm united to Christ, so I died out of the realm of sin and out of death and out of Satan's kingdom. I am no longer in the realm and rule of that. But not only that, I'm buried, but I'm also risen with Christ. I'm risen with Christ. Happy birthday, Carmen. I'm risen with Christ. And I'm always risen with Christ. You say, why? Because Christ is never going to be forsaken by the Father again. He's never going back on the cross again. He's never going to be there where he was. And neither will I. I deduce that. You say, deduce that? Yeah, you need to use your mind, you know. Gird up the loins of your mind. And then, not only that, that means I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God's presence. You say, how can you have fellowship with God? I'm alive in Christ to God's presence. I'm never going to be separated from Him again. Just like Christ will never be separated from the... He'll never say, my God, why? I'm alive to the presence of God. I'm alive to the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me and in you. And I'm alive to the plan of God. Do you know there are no boring days for the Christian? Every day you're walking on miracle ground. Every day you're walking on resurrection ground. And so when it says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, you need to exercise your faith that you already have for realizing you're united to Christ. And so you're alive to the power of God. You're alive to the plan of God. You're alive to the presence of God. And you're never going to be where you used to be. And so therefore, yield yourself to God to do His will and follow what He said. But it's all based in, first of all, your faith. And you have to exercise your faith for the fulfillment of this promise. Here's what the Lord said in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you know what the two key commandments are? Number one, to have faith in Christ. And number two, to love. To respond in love because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you have that faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord makes you a promise here in John 14:21. He said, I will do two things. I will love him and manifest. You know what the word manifest means? I will make myself known intimately and personally to that person. Not just doctrines about me. Me, myself. I will make myself known to that person. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He said he'll make himself known if you keep on trusting him, believing. And believing his promises. And he'll manifest. By the way, he did that even to the Old Testament saints. Remember when Joshua went into the promised land? Who met him there? The captain of the Lord's host. And he took off his shoes because he knew he was meeting with the Lord who would win the battles for him. And then remember Jacob when he left the Ur of the Chaldees and he was going back there after Mesopotamia. He was in Mesopotamia and he was traveling back to the promised land, and on his way back he heard that Esau was coming with 400 men. And so what did he do? He met with an angel who was Jesus before he was born, and he started wrestling with him. And he wrestled with him and he claimed the promises, and he said, Lord, you promised me if I would come back, you would bless my seed, and if Esau kills me, how am I going to be blessed? And so he had to lay hold of God's promises by faith. Then he literally wrestled with the Lord and he said, I don't want to be a schemer anymore. I don't want to be somebody that gets ahead by scheming. I want to trust you and have you give me your power. And God said, I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means power, a prince with power with God. And he touched the hollow of his thigh there and he limped after that, but he had power with God. I've had times like that in my life. I remember Patty Jordan and Goliath, and she had a New American Standard Bible back then. We had the wrong Bible, but the translation, when Goliath came out, he would say to Israel, give me a man that I may wrestle with him. And Patty was a single girl, and she said, Lord, give me a man that I may wrestle with him. There you're seeing the answer to prayer back there. But you know what? But you know what? God wants you to wrestle with God by faith and claim these blessings.
Amen.
You can have them. They're available to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. And I remember God making me an Israel from a Jacob. And again I've learned what it is to be an Israel. But I want to have you notice one last thing tonight as we wrap this up. Notice the truth of being, it says in verse 17, you plural, being rooted and grounded in love. Let me say that again. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, when Christ is dwelling in your heart by this faith that I'm talking about, you as a Christian, in preparation for more pouring out of God's grace in your life, will be rooted and grounded in love. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? It means that that's your problem. What do you mean that's my problem? I'm talking about you lack the rooting and grounding of love with the Lord. In other words, you're motivated out of duty. You're motivated, I don't want to be embarrassed. You're motivated because I don't want to get yelled at by the pastor. Motivated by these kinds of things. And maybe even when the pastor has a meeting, I'm not going to show up. I don't feel like it, but I won't call him. I'll call somebody else, you know. But you know what? You know what the Bible says that is? That's being a man pleaser. I don't want to be a man pleaser. I'm not here because of men. I would never chose this life because of people. I do it not my way, but His way. You know, not Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, but I did it God's way, for God. And I'm going to keep doing it by the grace of God, for God. I don't need the plaudits and praises of people. Don't get me wrong, I like it like anybody else does, but sometimes I feed on God's grace when I'm getting criticized and slandered and ridiculed and rejected. Because of love for Him. The love of Christ, rooted and grounded in having love in my heart for the Lord. How can you have love in your heart for the Lord? Because He's so real in your life. He's manifesting Himself to you. That's a preparation for more great grace and power of revival that we need today. And as I said, that's many of your problems. You stay doing it by duty. You lack the satisfaction of being in love. You know, it's great to be in love. It's a great thing to be in love. Remember, Jacob was in love and he worked for his wife and it seemed only a day because he was in love. You know, God wants us to have love in our lives. And marriage is just a picture of that. And it also can be a picture of a loveless life. And it can be it's sad when you see it. Many of you lack the satisfaction of being in love with the Lord. To be rooted and grounded in love means that as you climb the mountain of preparation for revival, you're motivated now primarily by being in love with the Lord, your heavenly husband. And He moves you to do what you do. You need to get that in your life tonight. Jesus said, I have this against you. You've left your first love. He said, do the first works. You know what the first works are? Abide in Christ by faith and then love, because you love the Lord. Do what you do out of love. Those are the two things. They're part of the preparation of revival. And they're the Savior's place in your heart that you need tonight. And may God help you through faith to attain to that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ?